Hello, kiddies. It's me, John Cusier, the voice of the Crypt Keeper, and you're listening to We Got the Geek.
You piece of shit alien!
That is where you've always been wrong about me, Lex. I'm as human as anyone. I love, I get scared. I wake up every morning, and despite not knowing what to do, I put one foot in front of the other, and I try to make the best choices I can. I screw up all the time. But that is being human. And that's my greatest strength. And someday, I hope, for the sake of the world, you understand that it's yours too.
Hey, everybody. It's Jay Stu. I'm here with the lovely Sarah J.
Howdy, howdy.
And Sarah J, you're a punk rocker. Yes, you are. That's a little tease for what's to come later.
Okay.
So, hi. It's September.
September 7th, 2025.
It's been a while.
Yes, it has.
God bless you, adulting and life.
And bills and... Yay.
All the great stuff.
So much great stuff. Not.
So, yeah. So basically, we're going to, I guess, kind of recap what we did in the second half of the summer.
Yeah.
Last time we talked was early July, I think.
It's going to be a condensed version, I guess, of everything.
Yeah. And we're also going to finally review Superman, which came out July 11th, and we saw it on July 12th. And now it's, what did you say it was? September?
It's September 7th.
Yay.
Oh, better late than never.
Hooray, adulting.
Yeah, adulting. If you'll excuse me, I'm going to take my milk and cookies and go into my pillow fort.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Yes, indeed. Hey, before we go any further, I just wanted to, like, say a special tribute to our friend Dave Bennison.
Yeah.
Who passed away in the last week or so. Dave was a great guy.
Yes.
He helped us out on several occasions.
Oh, God, yeah.
Earliest memory I have, we barely knew Dave, and Dave contacted me personally and asked us if we wanted to be on the bill for the Mostly Comics grand opening.
Yeah.
And that already included, like, Richard Cumley, who created Captain Canuck, and Mitch Markowitz, the creator of House of Frightenstein. Anyway, I'm just saying that they already had a pretty big actual celebrity list, and he asked us personally if we wanted to take part, too.
Uh-huh.
So that's my earliest memory of Dave. Of course, Dave was Santa Claus in the community.
Yeah.
And he helped us out last year at our Garden City Comic Con by appearing as Santa.
He was so good.
Everyone loved him.
He
your
was
mom.
Sweet.
Your mom
Everybody loved,
loved him.
My very first memory of Dave Bennison was when he was doing Stick to the Story and he was creating walking sticks and he was at a show.
Possibly Niagara Falls Comic Con. He was there a lot back in the old days.
I think so, because Hunter and I were there.
Yeah, it had to have been.
I bought a walking stick from him, which I still have. And I thought it was the most beautiful artwork I'd ever seen. Like, it was just stunning the way he could, like, turn sticks into beautiful pieces of art that you could use. And I do use my walking stick.
Yeah.
And that was my first time meeting him and first time, like, interacting with him. And then it just went from there.
Yeah, he was like a super nice guy, like nicest guy you want to know.
Yeah, and he was very creative and kind and just, you know, one of the better humans you could hope to meet in your lifetime.
Yeah, definitely, and his wife Vicky as well, very nice lady. So we just wanted to, you know, pay our respects, and we wish the family, all our prayers and happy thoughts and
our energy,
we'll
thinking of you guys.
We'll certainly miss Dave for sure.
Oh, frig yeah.
Uh, moving along.
Now, how do we follow that?
Well, let's see. I guess we could talk a little bit about some of the stuff we actually got to do in the summer when we weren't adulting or working or any of that other good stuff.
Okay.
We got to go to the CNE.
Yeah.
Now, I used to go to the CNE all the time with my parents when I was little.
I'd only been twice, really.
The last time I had actually walked through the CNE grounds was 1994 with my good friend John. We went to see John Mellencamp. We had some time to kill. But, yeah, 94, which is 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided we'd finally go. Like, Dirk's never been at all. And
yeah.
Just, I wanted him to experience what I used to as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And the tickets were fairly inexpensive.
Yep.
And we got to go on a day where one of our favorite bands was playing, Trans-Canada Highwaymen.
Yep.
And I got to tell you, it was cool being there, but I don't understand how my parents managed to keep us there for the entire day, like, seeing this place, because we were done in, what, 3 hours?
Yeah, I think because, one, like, we don't have a young kid.
Yeah.
You know, Dirk's 20. Two, because we were kind of broke.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can only do so much without, you know, like, we couldn't spend a lot of money, so therefore it wasn't as like, oh boy, you know.
Yeah.
So, I think that was two major factors.
Yeah. Yeah, we did have enough money for food, and there was like 1,000 different food vendors we wanted to try. But
oh my god, you couldn't swing like a freaking yo-yo doing round the world without hitting a food vendor truck or some sort.
Yeah, tried all day to find the
deep-fried pizza yeah. on a stick, and then I finally said, forget it, I'm just going to get a smash burger, and then after having a smash burger, I found the truck!
Yeah, they were tucked away in the one area we hadn't been in.
Still a little bitter about that, actually, not gonna lie.
Yeah.
A little bitter. Hopefully they're back for next year, because there was a lineup at the deep-fried pizza
yeah.
on a stick truck. There was a lineup, and this was in the evening, and I was like, they better be here next year, because I'm telling you, I'm finally going to get it.
Well, tell the folks what we had for dessert, which actually worked really well together.
Oh, my God. So, okay, the only way I can describe it is, like, the McDonald's hash browns. And they're deep fried.
Mm-hmm.
And then a slab, a rectangular, decent thickness slab of vanilla ice cream is smushed between them.
Yeah.
And at first, when I saw it, like, when we were looking up the foods online of what was going to be at the CNE, I was like, hash brown ice cream sandwich. I don't really know how I feel about that. And then we bought one for dessert. And I took a bite, and oh my God.
It worked really well together. And you know what?
It was the most beautiful thing I have ever eaten in my life. It was so good.
Yeah, it didn't even really taste like hash browns mixed together like that.
But it was great because you had the salty potato with that crunch because it was deep fried.
Yeah.
And then the sweet, cold vanilla ice cream. It was the most beautiful pairing.
Yeah.
Ever. It worked so well together, and it was just like, okay, I can eat about a dozen of these with no problem.
Yeah, it was really good.
So good.
And then we got to see the concert at the grandstand.
Yep.
Here's how out of
it. Banchel.
Banchel? Here's how out of it I am. Like, I'd gone to concerts at the CNE in the 80s and early 90s, back when they were at Exhibition Stadium,
yeah.
where the Blue Jays used to play. Had no idea there was a band shell there as well. I thought it was a recent development.
No, it's been there for like
80 years. So,
surprise.
But what a great venue.
Really good venue.
Yeah. And
like, The sound was amazing. It was raining off and on, but...
Yeah, it was done... Well, it was only raining a little bit during the show. And it was the Trans-Canada Highwaymen, who I think we've talked about on the show before.
I think so, yeah.
But Stephen Page, Mo Berg, Craig Northey, and...
Chris Murphy.
Chris Murphy, all Canadian royalty.
Yep.
All singing each other's songs, and yep. They're funny as hell.
Oh, my God. Their chemistry... You can tell they're friends in real life because of their onstage presence and their chemistry together.
Yeah.
And it is one of the most delightful things to watch because they rib each other back and forth. They are funny as hell. They're extremely talented. It's just... I love going to see them.
Yeah.
Love going to see them.
Yeah.
Because it's the music's amazing. Their own, like...
Yeah, because they
sing... Their own songs.
They pretty much sing their greatest hits.
Well, yeah, but not just that, but the album they put out.
Uh-huh.
Where they cover other artists.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... There's so much talent on that stage between the four of them. And it's never a disappointment seeing them perform. Like, ever.
And I gotta tell you, before the concert, it was really exciting because it was exciting to watch the merch table. Because Stephen Page was there hanging out, and then Chris Murphy.
Yep.
And then you elbowed me because Mark McKinney from Kids in the Hall showed up.
He was walking up to the merch table and everything, and I'm like... Wait a minute. Wait, what? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Trying to tell Dirk. I go, Dirk, have you ever seen Kids in the Hall? He goes, no. And I go, you watch Superstore, right? Yeah. Well, there's the boss from Glenn from Superstore. I figured he was just there to watch it because Craig Northey worked on the Kids in the Hall shows.
Yep.
And correct me if I'm wrong, weren't the Kids in the Hall in the Heterosexual Man video?
Yeah, they were.
But, it turns out he was there for another reason.
And he was also joined by another kid in the hall,
yeah.
Bruce McCullough.
Yeah, so they opened up the show and introduced the band.
Yeah, they did.
And it was funny as hell.
I recorded it.
Yeah.
I recorded the intro they did. And, like, what a great way to start off the evening with two of the kids in the hall.
Yeah.
And, like, just great intro, great... start to it, and the laughter just kept happening. Like every time we go see them perform, I always have a smile on my face.
Yeah,
like leaving the venue because it's so good.
Well, they're funny on their own too.
Oh,
like at their own concerts, but together, like
yeah. I like how Mo is very quiet in the Trans-Canada Highwaymen.
Yeah.
But then when he's, like, performing with The Pursuit of Happiness, boy, he can talk.
Yeah.
Like, he's the voice of the band for Pursuit of Happiness performances. And then Trans-Canada Highwaymen, he's like...
Yeah.
Nothing. It's really... It's so fun.
And we got pretty close to the stage, too.
Yeah, we did.
It was, like, a really good area. And because we'd been sitting for an hour, like, my back didn't hurt at all when we were standing.
Yeah. And then we had a surprise at the end of the concert.
That's right.
It was so cool because I've never seen this guy perform. So I can now say I've seen Andy Kim perform.
Yeah, they covered one of his songs.
Rock Me Gently.
On the new album. So he came out and sang it.
Yeah.
And
surprise.
Yeah, Dirk was like, who's that guy? Like, well, he's the guy that wrote that song. And he also wrote Sugar Sugar by the Archies.
Yeah. So, to be able to see Andy Kim perform live, it was like, oh, this is wicked. Like, it was just, it was a great night.
Yeah, and tell them what you got.
I asked one of the crew that was tearing down equipment and gear, I asked him very nicely, sir, would you mind if I could probably be given a set list, please, because I collect them. And he did. He got me one of the set lists, and I was very ecstatic and very happy. And then I stood in line at the merch table and had them sign it, had all the guys in the band sign it.
Yeah.
And I was very happy because now I got to frame it and hang it up.
Yeah. Oh, you know what else was funny? I forgot about it till right now. I was wearing a shirt, Chris Murphy shirt from when Dirk and I saw him in this little tiny place in Pelham.
Yeah.
And he, I guess he didn't sell that many t-shirts, but I bought one.
And he remembered.
He remembered, and so did the merch guy. The merch guy was like, were you at a little concert? And like, yeah. He goes, I remember you buying the shirt. Like, okay.
He was like, this is how you get remembered, people.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Hey, you were there.
That was a really good experience. I enjoyed it. I'd go back to the CNA, hopefully with money next time.
Yes.
But the key was getting the tickets early because before August.
Yeah, before a certain date, they were cheaper.
They were like, it would have cost us another $75 if we'd have waited.
Yeah.
So that was cool. And I forgot that prior to that in July, we got to see a Toronto Blue Jay game for the first time in.
Yes. And they won that night.
Decades for me.
They won.
Yeah, so the story there, so people that have been listening to the show for a long time know I was married to someone else previous. Through that marriage...
Hi, Kath.
I got two nieces, and they still consider me their uncle.
Yeah.
So Tori, who I hadn't seen in about 14 years, messaged me, said she was coming to Canada... Asked me if we all wanted to go see the Blue Jays.
Yes.
And that was including you and Dirk as well.
Yep.
And I said, yeah, it'd be cool to see the Blue Jays, and I haven't seen you in forever. And last time I'd seen a Blue Jay game in person, Dirk was 1 year old.
Uh-huh.
I remember having to carry a stroller in.
Ooh.
And we never went back and never... Dirk wasn't ever interested in baseball or anything, so we had to kind of explain the game to him as it was going along.
He thought one of the runners was getting hit. Why are they trying to hit him with a ball?
Yeah. That was a good experience. The stadium is way more expensive than I remember back in the old days. But that was a good time. And yeah, the Blue Jays won, and it was cool seeing Tori again. Tori's going to... come down here again in November to see us.
Yep.
And go Jays. Jays are still in first place as of this recording, too.
Yeah, they are.
What else? We did Canal Days for a second year in a row.
Who did we see?
Well, the first day, Dirk and I went and saw Sloan.
Yep.
Also Chris Murphy. This was about 3 weeks before Trans-Canada Highwaymen. And it was funny, and it was good, and it was free, and we enjoyed that. And then you can tell about night two when you and Michelle came.
Yes, we went and saw Finger 11 and The Trues.
The Trues.
Oh, that's just terrible.
Yes, indeed.
That I forgot.
And that was for Michelle's birthday. Happy birthday, Michelle.
Yes.
Back in August.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that was a good night. We stood the whole time that night, and my back did not forgive me the next day. Oh, I guess I can tell the fine folks out there about the other show I saw with Michelle a week later called The Lost 80s Show at the casino. Lost indeed, because...
So lost.
Everyone that knows me knows I love the 80s, but three of the bands I'd never heard of. And, I was mainly excited to go because one of the bands on the bill was Big Country, who I've been a huge fan of since I was in grade 9. Everyone remembers their hit In a Big Country, but they had other albums I loved and other songs, and I still listen to them a lot to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Did a little research. Well, there was only one guy still in the band from the old days. Sadly, the lead singer passed away in 2000, and the bass player had retired. Wasn't sure what happened to the drummer. So went into the show knowing, okay, the guitar player is the only original member, but still cool. So I went with Michelle and her mom, and the first band, I still don't remember what their name was. I swear they said their name was Baloney Sam. I'm sure that wasn't it. They had a song in the movie Pretty in Pink that I recognized.
Oh, my God.
Good job, Baloney Sam. Then the next band was sort of like a punk, English punk rock version of the Stray Cats. They had the upright bass and everything. They were called the Polecats. Never heard of them.
No.
Third band was a female singer named Josie Cotton. Apparently she had a song in the early 80s called Johnny, Are You Queer? Which was banned everywhere except in Canada. What else? Okay, so here's where it gets a bit weird. I don't even remember. Oh, so there's a band coming out called the Icicle Works, and I actually did remember a song by them, Whisper to a Scream. And he introduces his drummer, and he goes, this is the guy that's been drumming with me on this tour, Mark Brzezicki. And what was weird about that was he was the original drummer of Big Country. But from what I had read, he wasn't in Big Country anymore. So I was like, okay, so he's here playing with this guy, but not with Big Country. That's weird.
Yeah.
Didn't think anything about it. There was also, who else was on the bill? Oh, the Vapors. They sang I'm Turning Japanese, which you love.
I love that song. It's the only thing I know from them, but...
Well, yeah, that's mainly what everyone knows by them, you weirdo. Oh, China Crisis. That was the band. And although I'd seen their name since the 80s, I did not recognize one song they did. So, anyhow, Big Country comes out, and I had told Michelle about, I don't get why the drummer's playing with the other band. She goes, well, maybe it is the two guys that are still in the band. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. So, sure enough, the drummer comes out with Big Country. But different guitar player, not the guy as advertised. So they still sounded great, and it was cool seeing them. I wish I'd seen them in the 80s.
Yeah.
But in between bands, I did some research, and for some reason, Big Country is now split up into two bands, one featuring the original drummer, one featuring the original guitar player.
Oh, geez.
As much as I love Big Country, they really don't need two offshoot bands.
No.
And then the main featured guys were Flock of Seagulls.
Yes.
And for some reason, I knew three songs of theirs, which I only thought I knew one. It was, you know, I Ran.
Yes.
Interesting things of note for that set, their lead guitarist is the guy who was the lead singer in the Spoons, Canadian band. So we were leaving, and they announced that Big Country and Flock of Seagulls were signing autographs in the merch area, and
right.
I debated it for a second, but I was like, you know what, Big Country's music did mean a lot to me, I'm gonna go and meet the drummer, since
right.
he's the only original, I, sorry other guys in Big Country, I just wanted to meet the original drummer. And, of course, anytime I get around so much as anyone who was famous at all, I start going on like an idiot.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I love your music, and your album Steel Town is great, and thank you for all the great memories, and shook his hand. Michelle took a picture of us, and it was kind of cool.
Yes.
So that was my lost 80s experience. Baloney Sam, if I ever find out your real name, I will certainly give you credit. What else? Oh, we saw 3 days after the Trans-Canada Highwaymen, kind of a nightmarish night to begin with. We traveled to, where did we go for the Rib Fest? Where was that again?
Aurora, Ontario.
Yeah. And because of all the traffic and whatnot, it was a nightmare getting there. And I thought I might die by the end of the night at the hands of you.
Yes.
But it was okay. We made it to the Rib Fest, and we saw The Pursuit of Happiness, which is Dirk's favorite band.
Yep.
And managed to snag another set list for him, and turns out he's just like me when meeting celebrities. He didn't know what to say to anyone either. But they all signed his set list for him.
Yep.
And
we had pulled pork sandwiches.
Yeah, and they were good. expensive, but very delicious.
Yeah, but they didn't scrimp at all with the pulled pork, Jason.
No, I know. We couldn't even finish it while we were there. We had to save some for the next day.
Bring it home.
And that was our concerts for the summer. Did we do anything else at all this summer, or we just work and, like, adult? You know, I enjoy finding, like, inexpensive and cheap things for us to do, and we got to do a few things as a family this summer, so I'm not complaining.
No. I mean, we could complain, but...
Well, and I do.
And you do. What?
Nothing, you're funny.
I try.
Alright, so I will need your concentration for this one.
Okay.
Let's review Superman 2025.
Okay.
And this was one that I've been looking forward to a long time. Mm-hmm. I said at the beginning of the year when we were with Hunter that this was the one that I was looking forward to the most. I've been a big Superman fan since I was maybe 4 years old. Do you remember, how did you first become aware of Superman? Do you kind of remember it all? Do you remember,
When I first discovered Superman? Yeah. I think it was just because of the, Christopher Reeve movies.
Yeah.
I knew he was a comic book character.
Yeah.
And I knew that a Canadian had helped create him, which made me very proud. But that was about it. Like, I wasn't really like, ooh, comics!
I think... I discovered him when the Super Friends came out in the 70s.
Remember that cartoon? I do remember that cartoon. So, I mean...
I think I was about 4 or 5 years old, and not only did we have the Super Friends, but the channel we used to get, WUTV Channel 29.
Yeah.
They used to play all the old Superman and Batman cartoons from the 60s as well.
Right.
And that's how I became aware of them. And I remember... when I was 5, my mom bought me my first comic, a Superman comic. It was Action Comics. I don't remember the issue, but the main villain was this guy, Vartox, who wore, like, this freaking brown vest and no pants outfit, and he had, like, a porn mustache. I don't remember what his deal was, but he could fly. He was bald.
Oh.
Pretty much, I've been a fan of him since I was 5. And then, of course, the Reeve movies came out.
Yep.
And I've gone on record as saying this before. When I saw Superman Returns in 2006, even though it was kind of a boring movie, I felt like a little kid when that music came on and that John Williams theme. And
yeah.
And then we had the Zack Snyder movies, and I thought I liked them.
I didn't mind them.
They were going for, I guess, a different type of Superman, like a more serious version, if you want.
Yeah.
Killing people and whatnot. Anyhow, James Gunn, who I was a fan of from Guardians of the Galaxy, directed and wrote this one.
Right.
And as a fan of the comics, because I still read Superman a lot, I was very happy and very impressed. Let's see if I have any notes here from July. So we got a new Superman. His name was David Corenswet. What did you think about him in the role?
I liked him. I think he was well suited to play Superman. He had the Superman look. I think he did a great job, and the casting was spot on for him. And if people want to disagree with me, you most certainly can, but just let you know you're wrong.
He did that great thing. There's a famous clip of Christopher Reeve changing, like, mannerism from Clark to Superman.
Yeah.
And he kind of did, like, I don't want to say he was copying him, but he did, like, a great version of that himself, like, going from Clark to Superman in the one scene, changing voices.
Yeah.
Like, sitting up straight and, you know, changing mannerisms.
It was it's almost like preparing yourself for a role to become somebody else.
Yeah.
Your body language changes and it's, yeah.
And what made this cool is Lois already knows he's Clark in this movie. And yeah. They're dating already.
Yeah.
And it's 3 years, I think, into his career as Superman. And the movie actually has a little bit of like writing at the beginning saying this is, you know, he's been around 3 years.
Yep.
And this is the first time he's lost a fight. And the first thing you see is him just get clocked out and he lands in the North Pole. I forget where the fortress is. North Pole, South Pole?
I thought it was the North Pole. Arctic.
Yeah. And let's see. The antagonist in this movie is Lex Luthor, played by Nicholas Holt. What did you think of his version of Lex?
Great casting.
Yeah.
Nicholas Holt has grown into such an amazing actor. Like, my first thing that I saw Nicholas Holt in was Warm Bodies.
I remember that movie, the zombie movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Yeah, I remember that one.
I thought it was a great movie, and I really liked it.
We gave it a good review on this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just remember really liking his character. I liked him as an actor then, and then seeing him get other roles. He was Beast.
Beast, yeah.
And loved him as that in X-Men.
Yeah.
I've seen him in so many other things.
Yeah.
And to see him as Lex Luthor.
He was great.
He was so good in this role.
Yeah. Just embodied the role.
He really did. And, like, kudos to him because, I mean, he had some pretty big shoes to fill.
Yeah, he was on Michael Rosenbaum's podcast right before he started filming this movie.
Yeah.
And told him that he was his Lex growing up.
Yeah.
So, he was wonderful.
Yeah.
And then Rachel Brosnahan was great as Lois. Like, the best Lois we've gotten in a while.
She was incredible.
Yeah.
So good. I mean, applause, like, kudos and all the applause goes to James Gunn, too.
Oh, my God. He's clearly a comic book fan. Like,
oh, yeah.
A lot of that story was based on stuff from the comic All-Star Superman.
Right.
He's always talking about reading comics and characters he loves. And you can tell because he's bringing all these obscure DC guys into the movie. Like, the Justice Gang in this movie.
Oh, my God.
Never thought I'd see...
Terrific?
Yeah. Never thought I'd see a live-action Guy Gardner in my lifetime.
Played really well by Nathan Fillion.
Yeah. And Hawk Girl.
Hawk Girl. Also well done.
Yeah.
Like, they just brought so many great elements to this movie.
Yeah.
And it was just...
And
I loved it.
And, you know, Crypto...
Oh, my God, that dog was such a pain in the ass. But he was so cute. So cute.
Yeah.
And I loved it. It's like you're not helping Superman there, Crypto. Like, when he whistles for him to come help him in the very first
little... And just stomps all over him.
And just, like, boom. I was like, oh, no, you're not helping. Please, just take me home.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, right.
And we've seen Crypto in other things, but this is like the first time he's been in one of the Superman movies.
Yeah.
And
one of my favorite actors, Alan Tudyk.
Was the robot.
Was Four.
Four, who wanted to be called Gary.
Gary, and he improvised that line.
Yeah.
Like, there's whole behind-the-scenes footage of, I can't remember the actor's name who played Superman again.
David Corenswet.
Thank you. He's cracking up because nobody expected him, like, to improvise that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that. It's like, okay, Gary.
And the emotion that Corenswet brought to the role, even when he was talking about... He wasn't a fan of Crypto.
Right.
but he was going to turn himself in because Crypto had been captured.
Yeah.
And he just wanted to find out where he was. And yep. Lois was like, why would you do that? He's not even that good of a dog. And he's like, I know, but he's got to be scared. And, you know.
It was so good.
He saved a squirrel. Which, yeah. And you know what I like about this one compared to Man of Steel? The city got evacuated before there was a fight and everyone had died.
Yay!
Oh, man.
Always good.
Yeah.
Always good.
And Dirk really loved the movie, too. First of all, I've never seen him go watch a movie more than once in a theater.
Yeah.
Second of all, I've never seen the kid have this much emotion over a movie before, and it was kind of sweet to see. Because I was crying a little bit at the end, too. Like, the last scene where he was in the fortress and he was watching the footage of his parents, his Earth parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this movie so much, and I think it was a great way to start off this new DC universe. This was the jumping on point. I know we're going to get a Supergirl movie next year, and Lanterns is out next year as well.
Yep.
And we saw a bit of Supergirl in this as well at the end. I think she's going to be great. And speaking of comic books, it's based. Her movie is going to be based on a storyline called the Supergirl of Tomorrow, which was a fantastic comic. I don't know. What else can we say about this movie?
I liked it. Actually, I did more than like. I loved it.
Yeah. What would be your rating for it?
I would give it...
out of five.
Out of five? Five Garys out of five.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've given a five to a movie. I always think there's room for improvement, but I love this movie, and it made me feel like a kid so much. And, they kind of did a version of the John Williams theme in this, too.
Yeah.
Which was great. And all the acting I loved. Jimmy was great.
Yes.
Love
Jimmy Olsen in this one.
What else?
Like, there was no bad part in this entire movie. The writing was beautiful. The acting was brilliant.
A lot of people were bitching that they showed Superman, I guess, weak, for lack of a better term.
Oh, man. He's been beat up before.
Yeah, in the comic, in the movies, in the shows.
He died in the comics.
He died in his second Snyder movie.
Yes, true.
But also, he got himself out of a friggin' black hole in this movie when he had kryptonite poisoning. Also, Metamorpho was awesome.
Yes.
And Metamorpho's baby.
Yes.
So I'm going to give, like I said, I rarely give movies five anymore.
But
I'm going to give this one five out of five Mighty Crabjoys albums. That's the fictional band in this DCU that he had posters up of.
Oh!
So yeah, I love this friggin' movie. I am anxiously awaiting for more stuff from this universe. I'm currently watching Peacemaker, which is kind of... sort of a little bit crossing over with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait. Go James Gunn. We also saw Fantastic Four, but I think I promised Jay Hunter we were going to review it with him. So we'll hold off on that.
Yeah.
Here, I'll give you something to do. Tell the fine folks what's happening on November 29th.
Your con.
Our con.
Our con. Garden City Comic Con. Yay.
At Club Heidelberg.
At Club Heidelberg.
In St. Catharines.
Yeah.
From 10 to 5. $5 admission.
Yes.
Free if you're a kid 12 and under.
Yes.
Half the proceeds going to the Jace Wars charity.
Yes.
We've got some great artists coming. We've got some great cosplayers coming.
Yes.
And other surprises, I hope.
Surprise!
So we're looking forward to that.
We need more vendors and artists.
Yes. If you're listening to this, anyone...
if you are an artist or vendor, or know an artist or vendor, or both...
yes.
Please email us at wegotthegeek@gmail.com.
Yeah.
So that my husband can set you up with a beautiful table at Club Heidelberg for November 29th.
$40 for an 8-foot table.
Yes, sir.
Or you can reach us on our Facebook page, We Got the Geek.
Yep.
So this is a good first show back.
Yeah, not bad.
We said that last time and then didn't record for 2 months.
That's because we have to adult, and as much as we don't like it, it has to happen.
We hopefully have some good stuff coming up soon. We'll watch some more movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Hopefully we have some cons in our future. We skipped Fan Expo for the first time in a gajillion years.
Yes.
That was weird.
Yes, it was very weird.
But for now, I think we're going to, because we're just rambling and I'm like thinking of stuff to say, we're going to take our leave right now. And we'll be back hopefully sooner than 2 months from now.
Yeah.
And we love you and thank you for listening. And have a super day.
To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out on www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.